Very sincere welcome in the Saviour's name as we come to Hebron to the first service of a new year, the year 2021. As we worship together, we pray that we'll know God's presence in a very special way as we start the year. And we come to sing together that beautiful hymn, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Just keep our seats. Psalm for today is the Psalm 47. Let us hear the word of the Lord, this short psalm, but a psalm I trust will be a blessing as we read it together. So clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Amen. And God bless the reading of this psalm to all of our hearts. And as we come to pray, remember already, we've had our little message going out this morning, thinking of the beginning of the year and those two texts of Scripture from 1 Chronicles 29, and it should be verse 5, where we have the word consecrate, Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? And then in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, where we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We've already had the opportunity to preach to a tribal people in Pakistan, and we trust that the word of God will be a blessing there. And you've been perhaps in Sunday school this morning, many of you, and you know that Wesley is encouraging the children to read the Bible all the year through. And you can sign up for this. You can get the scriptures that you're to read day by day from week one right through to the end of the year. So it is a Bible reading challenge for 2021 for all of our children. So do sign up. Now let's pray together. Our Father, we thank thee for the solid ground upon which we stand. All other ground is sinking sand, as we have sung already. But we praise thee for the foundation of our faith. And other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we as the Lord's people have been built into the cornerstone, the foundation, into Christ. And that's where we stand today. And that's where we come in our approach unto God, standing upon the rock Christ Jesus, upon everything that he is and everything that he has accomplished and all that he is to his believing people. We plead his name. We plead the merits of his blood. We pray indeed that thou wilt look upon Christ today, the face of thine anointed, and for Jesus' sake, hear us as we gather for this first Lord's Day service of a new year. Thank thee for bringing the congregation together, for all who are present in the building, for others that are listening in on the internet. It is our desire more than anything to meet with God. What a blessing it is to enjoy fellowship with those of like precious faith, to be here in the house of God with those that love the Lord, who seek to honor him and serve him. But Lord, we know that our fellowship is first and foremost with God himself. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, we can enjoy that fellowship today. Rid us, Lord, of anything that would come between us and heaven. We pray for the cleansing of the precious blood. We pray for the renewing of our minds and our hearts. Sanctify us by your Spirit and draw us closer to thyself. And help us to sing praises unto God. We think of the repetition of that little phrase in the psalm that we have read together, that exhorts us to sing praises to the one who is our King, the King of all the earth. And though there are earthly monarchs in the nations of the world, we thank thee that there is a supreme King that sits upon the throne of glory, that rules in the affairs of men even here in this world, and will one day establish his kingdom on earth. We pray that thou wilt bless your people. We've come from different backgrounds. We've come from different circumstances. Indeed, we find ourselves in different places today, at the beginning of this year. Some hearts are filled with sorrow. Some, Lord, are anxious. Some are fearful. Some, Lord, are passing through trials perhaps that we know nothing about, but Lord, thou knowest. Others have come with joy in their hearts, in anticipation of meeting with God. And Lord, you've sent blessings already this year, and we're greatly encouraged. Lord, as we stand at the beginning of the year 2021, we would consecrate our service unto God this day, and we would present our bodies as living sacrifices unto God. We know that it is our reasonable service. Lord, you're not asking anything unreasonable from us as we give our lives to thee and present all that we are upon the altar of sacrifice, and say in our hearts at the beginning of this year, Lord, here am I. Use me, fill me, equip me, go with me, and help me to be a vessel unto honor, meet for the Master's use. Bless the entirety of this worship service in all its parts. Bless us at the Lord's table as we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was crucified for our sins. Remember the gospel that has been presented already in Pakistan this morning. Remember the ministry of the Sunday school and the word that has gone out to the children. Lord, may these things be owned of God and blessed by Thee. In Jesus' precious and prevailing name we pray. Amen. We take the opportunity, of course, to welcome you again to the house of God. And we have others that are tuning in with us from various parts of the world, including our own country, of course. Some of our folks that are still shielding and not able to get out today. And right across to the land of India, later on in the communion service, we will have the joy of receiving new members into the fellowship here. And that will include our brother and sister, Dipankar, and his wife, Anita, who will be becoming members of the Free Presbyterian Church today in the will of God. So we welcome them very, very especially to Hebron's worship service. We hope to preach our motto text for 2021. And we have these little cards printed with the motto text in the front and a little calendar on the back. So we want you to take them. They're on the table as you leave and distribute them among your family and friends. The Lord's table will follow this service and we will be receiving in new members. We have a season of prayer this evening here at the church for our office bearers. That's at 5:30. We hope to meet in the church hall and just space out and call upon God together for his blessing upon the work at the beginning of the year. The first gospel service will be at 7 o'clock tonight, and I want to preach in the will of God on the sinner's most essential need for 2021. Remember the minister's week of prayer, Monday to Friday. We're not able to gather together in these days for obvious reasons, but each morning the ministers will be coming collectively together over Zoom, and they'll be hearing a message preached at each session, and then they'll be going in, as some of you will understand the terminology, into rooms on the Zoom calls so that we can pray together and seek the Lord as a denomination. Monday night is our session meeting at 8 o'clock. That will be by Zoom. Thursday night is our midweek service at 8 o'clock as we come to fellowship together and study the Word and pray. Next Lord's Day, we have our Sunday school at 10:30, and that's on the Hebron Facebook page. We thank those teachers who took part this morning and our superintendent for overseeing this ministry. The Bible class, 10:45 on Zoom. Christ in the midst of every crisis is the subject, a study of the leading of the Lord in the life of Joseph. And that's what it will be for this month. Just to remind you that Hebron's Missionary Weekend Convention meetings are postponed until April time, the 16th through to the 18th. And that's God willing. That's the dates that we're giving out now so that we can get them into our diary. And hopefully everything will come together by then. Hebron's Week of Prayer will take place by Zoom. So you do need access to the internet. And this will be sent out on the announcement group that many of you, if not all of you, are members of. That's the WhatsApp group. And you'll get the connection there. If you're not on that group and you need to sign up, if you see Samuel, he can get your number from you, your mobile, and get you included as we come together for prayer. That's Monday week, the 11th through to the Friday, the 15th. Youth Challenge will recommence on Tuesday, the 19th of January, and that will be on the internet. The Youth Fellowship will recommence on Friday, the 22nd of January. We want to thank you for your tithes and offerings to God's work. And just to remind you that today is Let the Bible Speak. Those who contribute in this way by the envelope scheme, as we give to our radio ministry. And also the missionary covenant support, as we seek to help sustain our missionaries on the field. I want to extend our sincere sympathy to our young sister, Carrie White, and her family, on the passing of her grandmother, who went into hospital a little while ago, had a fall, and seemed to be making progress, but it was not the will of God for her to come through what injuries that she had. And she passed away and was buried this week, and our thoughts are with the family. Do pray for them, please. She's gone to be with Christ, her Saviour, which is far better. I want also to congratulate Stephanie and Ian, who got engaged on Friday. So it's all happening in the the Calderwood family in these days. I think Philip's looking for a retiring offering or something. He mentioned it to me. Could that happen? But I know how he feels. The requests, of course, are with you for the work of God here in this house, in all its aspects, for those suffering with COVID-19. We're looking for God's intervention in these days. We continue to remember doctors and nurses and those in the front line, and then the sick and the needy. Connected to the congregation, always on our minds and in our thoughts and prayers, do continue to bring them to the throne of grace in prayer. Now we sing a hymn. We have an anchor that keeps the soul. It's the hymn 305 in our hymn book. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? People of God can say, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Let's sing it joyfully unto the Lord, and maybe just to change our positions a little bit, that we just stand nicely to our feet after the introduction, and then let's sing this hymn together. Seated. just to remind you that the building between services is being fogged. All right, that's to keep us all nicely safe as possible. And we have a little bit of ventilation up there. The windows are open. I don't think it's too cold, even though the weather's pretty chilly outside. Trust that we'll know the blessing of God as we come to the scriptures now. We're opening our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. As you do so, I just want to say I have a beautiful new Bible. I have a Bible that I read through every day. I have another Bible that I use very often as I prepare the messages. And I have a Bible that I preach from, that I keep just for the pulpit. And I've been using one for over 20 years, and it's stuck here and there. So I'm grateful to my children and grandchildren who clubbed together and bought me a new preaching Bible. A new preaching Bible hopefully will help me preach even better in 2021. We're reading from verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 6 through to the end of the chapter, verse 20. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. May God bless the reading of his word and use it for his honor and glory as we look into it now. But let's pray first of all. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we come to this passage of Scripture and we thank thee for its reading and we pray for its exposition as we think of our mother text for this year. We thank thee for the anchor that the believer has for his soul. And Lord, we pray that this truth will rivet itself upon our minds and hearts, that it will do us good, that what we remind ourselves of, because this is not new truth, there's no new truth, it's old truth that God has given centuries ago when he gave the word, but may it come new, may it come fresh, may it come with power and great assurance to every waiting heart, especially the believing church, because it is your people that have this anchor. Fill me now with God the Holy Spirit on this first Sabbath day to preach your word. Baptize me with power, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're taking for the mother text, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9 particularly. We will have mention to make of verse 20. But here we read about an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And this anchor has entered into that within the veil. And I want to preach on the believer's unshakable anchor. That's the subject. That's the thought, the motto text for this year. The word anchor is used only four times in the Word of God. And it's always in the New Testament. Three times it is used in the physical sense, the anchor of a ship. And those three occasions are all found in the story of the Euroclidean storm of Acts chapter 17. In fact, the word actually refers to the storm. Acts 27 and verse 14. Not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclidean. And then when you read down the chapter, you will read in verse 29, in verse 30, and verse 40, the word anchor. So it's used these three times in the same passage to describe the physical anchor of the ship. But it's used once, and only once, in the metaphoric sense to describe what the believer has in Christ, or what Christ is to the believer. He is an anchor of the soul. And we need such an anchor in the pilgrimage of life as we traverse this old world in our journey to eternity. An anchor is especially valuable and important in times of storm. Now, last year was the year of vision. You go back to the mother text of 2020. We kind of played on the fact that the year was 2020. We thought about 2020 vision. We carried that thought into the spiritual realm, and we made the year of vision. Our mother text was Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And we sought to lift our eyes as a congregation and look first and foremost to the Lord himself. And then we sought to lift our eyes and look to the lost souls of men. And we lifted our eyes over the missionary weekend, and the same thought of vision was carried through the whole weekend. And the year began well. And there were conversions. Think of those who came to the Lord, and Eamon's with us today. Back in January, he's almost 1 year old, coming to Christ on the 19th of January. We think of some children that were converted in the Sunday school and in the school. Others in lockdown through the video casts that were going out came to trust in the Lord. Some of your friends that you witnessed to were saved and connected to their church. There were about 12 in total. There were multiple conversions in Pakistan that only the Lord knows and understands the true condition of their heart. But we saw new opportunities to serve Christ on the mission field, particularly in Pakistan and also in India, as we sought to encourage our brother Dipankar. And then the year was overshadowed by coronavirus. And although in the providence of God this gave greater opportunities in Christian service in many ways that we could never have imagined, yet it cast a dark shadow across the nation and across the world. And not least, right here in Hebron. Our churches were in lockdown for several months. It was one of the most difficult times personally in my ministry, coming to an empty church, the social distancing, not able to even shake a person's hand. Pastoral visitation was curtailed greatly, and it affected church life right across every area of the work of God here. The children's work, the youth ministry, there was no mission last year. Weddings, funerals, all these things were affected. And then COVID-19 came to the Causeway area, and it affected many in our church. And there were a few who became pretty ill, and they struggled greatly. And we know Dr. Cairns, who contracted the virus and went into hospital. And in the providence of God, he was not to make it through. Others that we knew about, they succumbed to the virus. Now, the vaccine has been rolled out since the 8th of December. We will see how things develop. We will assess the situation. We will keep ourselves as safe as possible. We will look to the Lord, as we have been, for divine intervention We will take one day at a time, and we will continue to serve Christ the best we can in every conceivable way. We will maintain the cause of the gospel. We will pursue our mandate in the Great Commission to bring the gospel to the nations of the world, and we will live with eternity's values in view. We will be an ambassador for the King wherever we go. We stand on the threshold of another year, not knowing what is in store for us, how it will go with coronavirus, what other troubles and trials might cross our paths, what losses and crosses we might sustain. Alfred Smith, one of the more modern hymn writers who was born just over a century ago, penned those words, "I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. Yet one stands near to be my guide, he'll show the way to me. I do not know the course ahead, what joys and griefs are there. But one is near who fully knows, I'll trust his loving care." Yes, the future is stamped with uncertainty. It is veiled in a mist of secrecy. We know not the path that lies ahead. We know not the steps that we will take. We certainly need an anchor to keep us steady and secure. And that anchor is Christ, as we shall come to see. We are reminded in the scriptures about the firm foundation that we have in him. The language of the Holy Spirit, the author of this book, is most explicit. Jesus Christ is the rock. He's the pavilion. He's the fortress of his people. He's the refuge. He's the hiding place. He is the high tower. He's that shadow of a rock in a weary land. And here in our text, in Hebrews 6 and verse 19, he's an anchor of the soul. And I want you to know that. I want to dwell upon this truth. I want you to hide it in your heart this year. I want you to experience the reality of what I'm going to say, what this text is teaching. Jesus is an anchor of the soul. And so as we face the incoming year, with all its uncertainties and unknowns, with all its afflictions and anxieties, rest upon this unchanging fact. The blessed Christ of God is an anchor of the soul. And I want you to notice, first of all, the necessity of the anchor. Life in this world, upon this earth, is often a storm. We find ourselves in the midst of great swelling times. Huge waves rise, and the water comes crashing across the deck of our little vessel with thundering force, with threatening force to disturb our confidence and our hope, and to leave us as helpless wrecks. Coronavirus has taken its toll upon some of our most precious families. Sorrow has filled our hearts and tears our eyes. Sickness has brought pain, distress, and grief. The burdens of life and the tribulations of this old world have weighed heavily upon us. And some are in great trial of their faith this very day, as you have come to the house of God, or as you are listening in to this message. For others, we do not know the struggles and the conflicts, the turmoil and the trouble that will fill our pathway in the incoming year. And so I say to you, dear people of God in this house today, we need an anchor. It is a necessity. When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, when the breakers roar and the reef is near, when the surges rave and the wild winds blow, when the waters cold chill your latest breath, we need an anchor for the soul. We need somewhere to fix our vessel in such storms, and they will arise. Think it not strange, says Peter, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Abraham experienced a horror of great darkness. The patriarch Job was brought into a valley of suffering in one day that few people will be called to experience in a lifetime. He lost his business, he lost his servants, he lost his children, and he went on to lose his health. Joseph faced hatred, envy, slavery, lies, and imprisonment. The psalmist spoke of times when the heart is overwhelmed. The three Hebrew captives had a fiery furnace heated 7 times to its capacity. Daniel had a lion's den. Jeremiah had a dark, dismal prison where he sunk in the mire. King David faced multiple trials in the journey of life, and he wrote often about them in the Psalms. Paul wrote about infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses. He endured whippings, stonings, hatred, persecutions, imprisonments, shipwreckings, false brethren, weariness, painfulness, hunger, thirst, cold, and nakedness. He spoke of all these things. And the beloved John in Revelation, he highlighted great tribulation, and he himself was exiled to the island of Patmos. Sounds familiar? Have you been there? Have you experienced any of these things? These descriptions summarize much of what we still encounter in our voyage through the seas of life. And so, my friends, we need an anchor. We need our souls fastened in the turbulent experiences of life. The necessity of the anchor. But then I want you to notice the certainty of the anchor. This text says we have an anchor. Here is something absolutely certain. Paul reminds the believing church that there is an anchor in the storms of life. I often feel for those who are without faith, who are without confidence in God, who are without a refuge for their souls. What do? In the deepest, darkest experiences of life, for they face turbulent, swelling times just like anyone else in this world. Hospitals are full of sick, frightened, dying men and women who do not know the Lord. Our community around us is filled with distress and heartache. And I know that, for I've witnessed many anxious souls that I've been with as a pastor. The joys of family life are often interrupted by huge problems. I rose early one morning, back in the beginning of December, to prepare this message, at least to begin to prepare this message, and it was at this very point, this very moment, as I was thinking about those who have no anchor for their souls, that I received a phone call. At 7 o'clock in the morning, and there was a lady in great distress and in tears at the other end of the phone. Sorrow had overtaken her life. She could hardly talk. She kept weeping. And this dear lady did not have an anchor for her soul. She did not have a refuge to run to. She didn't know the Lord. But we have an anchor, brethren and sisters. I want you to know that. Dear child of God, whatever you have come through, whatever you are facing right now, whatever this year has in store for you and for me, we have an anchor. As the storms threaten to wreck us, as the winds alarm us, as the billows and the great swell frighten us, as the waves terrorize us, as our circumstances seek to overwhelm us, get this truth into your heart. We have an anchor. It's absolutely certain. And then I want you to think about the identity of the anchor. because this anchors Christ. And you want to run your eye now to the next verse just to get the connection between verse 19 and verse 20. This forerunner that verse 19 tells us about. And now in verse 20 it's elaborated upon, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You've got to see this. Brethren and sisters, we're anchored in Him. Jesus Christ is the great high priest of His people. As our priest, He is both the sacrifice for our sin, and He is the one who offered that sacrifice on our behalf. And this priest is now in heaven, appearing in the presence of God for us, ever living, to make intercession on behalf of His people. The heavenly Melchizedek is sitting at the right hand of the Father, having accomplished eternal salvation, redemption for His people. And He's there. He's pleading for us. That's what He's doing. That's His ministry in glory. He's watching over us every day. He's caring for us in a most special way, for He loves us dearly. Now, sometimes in this life, God gives us human anchors. Men and women who come alongside to encourage us, to bear us up in the storm, to keep us steady and firm. How thankful we are for such. And we can be that to each other, on a much lower level, of course, than that which Christ is to the believer. Over Christmas, I was thanking one of my dearest friends for his friendship, for his fellowship, and for his encouragement, because he's been an anchor to me many, many times, especially in the most needy and trying times of life. And he wrote back to me, and one of the things that he said was this simple little line: "You have been a rock to us." I was so encouraged to hear that. They had been such an anchor, his family, and particularly he himself had been such an anchor to me, and he was responding, "You've been an anchor to us." And I think that we all know something of this experience, don't we? In our darkest hours and our most difficult circumstances, God often sends a human anchor. A dear family member, a dear friend, a dear church worker, just to come alongside and to be that anchor for us. However, no matter how great and steadfast they prove to be, there is no anchor that can be compared to the anchor of our text. His name is Jesus, our high priest, our Melchizedek. Human anchors can fail at times to be the support that we desperately need. They can only go so far in their encouragement and assistance. But the Christ of God never fails. He is the unshakable anchor of the soul. Learn to run to Him every time. Get underneath the shadow of His wings. Stand in the cleft of this rock. Fix yourself firmly to this foundation. Look to Him for grace, strength, and fortification. When all around my soul gives way, then He is all my hope and stay. It's Christ. That's the identity of the anchor that we have. And then there is the reliability of the anchor. And you want to mark the word sure and steadfast. Praise God, what we are anchored in, what we have put our faith and our confidence in, is sure and steadfast. And that's what we need every day in the pilgrimage of life. As we cross the seas of this world, in our journey to the shores of the heavenly Canaan, this is especially so when the storm erupts. Your anchor needs to be both sure and steadfast. It is such an anchor that keeps us from being wrecked in the storm, that keeps us stable and secure. And we can all speak of times when the storms of life have risen and crossed our paths. It may have been great sickness that intruded. It may have been immeasurable sorrow that overtook us. It may have been a crisis at work or an upheaval in family life. It may have been a grievous disappointment in a friendship and we hardly knew where to turn or what to do. The storm almost wrecked us if it had not have been for our anchor, Jesus Christ, who was totally sure and steadfast. We would have undoubtedly been completely overwhelmed and we would not have survived. Why does it hold? Why is it sure and steadfast? For this simple reason, because the anchor is the impregnable rock, Christ Jesus. That's who he is. Oh, the reliability of the anchor, it's sure and steadfast. Then of one little thought, in closing, there is the locality of the anchor. You want to mark the phrase here, within the veil. Where is our anchor fixed? Within the veil. And the idea is that we are anchored to something firm, but unseen. Our anchor is very like every other, when it is of any use, it's out of sight. When a man sees the anchor, usually it's doing nothing unless it happens to be in shallow waters. When the anchor is of great use, it has gone down. It goes overboard with a splash and descends far down there into the depths and it grips the solid seabed and it's quite out of sight. We are anchored upward. In heaven, not downward to the ground. It is within the veil. Our hope is anchored in Christ. Jesus has entered into the immediate presence of God the Father. As our forerunner, he has gone on before, and we shall one day follow. We are fastened to our Melchizedek, our heavenly high priest. Sailors throw their anchors downwards into the depths of the sea. Christians throw their anchors upwards. And it goes within the veil of glory. Into the lofty heights of heaven where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. And that's where you want to have your anchor. You know the hymn that we sang earlier. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It is because of this Edward Moke, the author, could pen, in every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. He said, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. What is your hope, dear brother? What is your hope, dear sister, in the storms of life? Where does your anchor fix? In Christ, beyond the veil. That's where the anchor of the people of God is located. And I want this text to be a motto text. I want it to be remembered. I want you to take the card. I want you to look at it. I want you to think about it, meditate upon it. And especially when the troubles of life come in and the storms of life arise, remember, we have an anchor, both sure and steadfast, which is entered into that within the veil. May that text of Scripture cling to your heart, your soul, in the incoming year of 2021. And we're going to pray. We are going to sing a closing hymn which will allow those who are not remaining for the Lord's table to leave. If you're a child of God and you love the Lord wants you to be here. He wants you to be at his table. He wants you to remember his death. He has commanded it. And so I'm not giving the invitation. It's Christ who says this, do in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the songs that we were able to sing that have reminded us of the anchor in the midst of the storm. We thank you that that anchor is Christ. We praise thee that he is God as the forerunner beyond the veil into heaven itself, where he now appears in the presence of God for us. We thank thee that by faith we are connected. We have thrown out the rope of faith and we have anchored ourselves in Christ. And we praise thee that one day we're going to be with him, which is far better. Until then, keep us in your hand. Keep us in the storms of life. Help us, Lord, to know with experience and certainty in our souls that we have this anchor in him. And may we be well founded and grounded in Christ in the incoming year. Bless your people. Encourage them in the Lord. Bless us as we come in a moment or two to sit at the table of Christ to remember your death and your suffering at the cross. And separate us with your blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen. An appropriate hymn to finish with, 569. Hiding in thee, hiding in thee. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. And then I will move down to the table at the end of this hymn. We have another communion hymn to sing. We have a passage of scripture to read. We will be able, hopefully, to have a live link up with the Panker and Anita. You should be able to see them. They're going to be part of this meeting in a more real way. You'll be able to see them here. Hopefully, the technology is going to work. But first of all, let's sing, O safe to the rock that is higher than I. My soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thy blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Begin to leave. We're just asking you very simply to leave quietly, keep your distance, the one from the other, as you go down the aisles and go out through the doors. Thank you very much. Sing verse 2, the calm of the noontime. Thank you. moments to get organized. You'd appreciate that. Our sisters will likely play a hymn for us as we get ready here for the Lord's table. Thank you. Going to sing this hymn together, "Come Ye Yourselves Apart and Rest a While." Weary I know it of the press and throng. Wipe from your brow the sweat and dust of toil, and in my quiet strength again be strong. I'm going to take just a moment to get our technology working so that you can, God willing, be linked up with the banker. Yes, I'll let you come. Because I'm distanced a little bit, I'll take this off for a moment or two. And this technology was working. I was here, a witness to it. I think Paul wants me to say that we were here the other day. We got linked up with the banker and his wife, Nita. Anyhow, it's always a joy to bring in new members to the congregation. And after the difficult year that we've had, we have new members coming in today. I'll mention their names just in a moment or two. And you're called with your children. Anchor. Congregation will be able to see you just in a moment. And we'll maybe test just the sound if we can hear our brother. If you'd just, the Panger, if you'd like to bring a greeting.
Greetings from India, on behalf of Brother Kavish and my family, we'd like to take this opportunity to say that we deeply appreciate your active prayer support. Strengthens and the Lord's work. And thank you for being. We thank the Lord for you all.
Amen. Thank you. It is a joy and delight on behalf of the session of the church and the congregation to welcome into membership today. And we'll begin with these young men, Aaron and Ben Galt. So they're here. I have to just look carefully with these masks on just to identify everyone. We rejoice in the salvation of these young men, restoration of Aaron back in July. And it was a great joy in our hearts when we heard that. You come back to the Lord and the evidence of grace in the life of both of these young men that are coming in. And we have our sister Valerie Morrow. Where's Valerie? Oh, Valerie, you're right before me. You're right there. Good to have you, sister. And you've been coming to us now for a little while, and you've made Hebron your home. And it's a joy to receive you into membership today. Then we have another young man called Eamon King. And Eamon, you're almost, as we said this morning, 1 year old in the faith of Christ. And you look back to January last year on the 19th when you came to the Lord. And we've rejoiced in that. We've watched you grow in grace. And again, it's a joy for us to receive you in as a member of this congregation. You've got to love you in the Lord, and I think you've got to learn to love us too. Amen. It hasn't been too hard. And then we have transfer of membership, Gregory and Rebecca Gibson. Good to have you. Rebecca, of course, was brought up here. When she was old enough, she became a member of Hebron. She's coming home. They moved over to Liverpool, where they became members of the church there. And now they're home with us. Greg's studying at the Whitfield College of the Bible. And so I want to welcome you both back. Certainly, Rebecca, you're back to Ballymoney. And Greg, you've come to dwell among us. We want to be a help and an encouragement to you. And then we have Dipankar and Anita Nandi. Dipankar, I think most of you know that he's studying with our college, at Whitfield College of the Bible. He has a burden to be a preacher of the gospel in the land of India. We believe that he'll do well under God. He goes out and conducts pastor conferences, and he has that great burden for the orphan children as well, to see to it that they get fed every week, every day, every week, every month, and for the foreseeable future. And we love them in the Lord. We did meet him. He was in our church a while back, and now he's coming into membership into the Free Presbyterian Church, as he hopes in the future to be a Free Presbyterian minister in the land of India. So Dipankar, it's good to have you. You maybe can't see me, or can you? Do I need to be in front of the here? I'm not sure. Can you see me now? That's the thumbs up. Amen, brother. Well, we've got ties with India. We think of the vastness of the continent there. Was it 1.3 billion people? So you've got a big congregation to reach with the glorious gospel of Christ. And we wish you well in that, and the burden that you have to see lost souls brought into the kingdom, and to see pastors trained for the work that God has called them to. And we pray for you here in this church often, and we're glad to receive you in as a member today. So we're going to ask our clerk just to lead us in a wee word of prayer, and just pray for these new members as they come in. Very sorry that we can't give you the right hand of fellowship. We can't do it here because of coronavirus, and obviously we can't do it because you're in India. But you can take it for granted that we shake your hand, we make you welcome in the Lord's great name, and may you be a blessing to us, and we in turn to you. Thank you. Brother Phil.
Eternal Father in heaven, we do thank thee for what we have witnessed even this afternoon, these new members coming into fellowship here in Hebron. We do thank thee for the triumph of grace in the hearts and souls and lives of Dipankar and Anita, of Ben and of Aaron. We think, Heavenly Father, of thy great goodness to Valerie and to Eamon. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the encouragement of Greg and Rebecca. We think of the many hours that we have put in at the throne of grace for each and every one of them, praying that God might move in their lives, that they might be used of God for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do ask of thee that thou will pour out thy Spirit upon them, that they might become a great asset, not only to the cause of Christ here in Hebron, but to the far-front corners of this world in which we live. We thank thee for the day and for the hour when they were placed into the Lord Jesus Christ and were made heirs of God and joint heirs with the Saviour. We pray, Lord, that you will take them up and use them. Make them ambassadors for the Lord Jesus, we pray. And grant that thou wilt give them the joy, privilege, and pleasure of leading many to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Make them a blessing to the visible church, we pray. And grant that through them they might be made mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan. For we ask these things in the Saviour's precious and in his worthy name. Amen.
Amen. We will read together the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 on this first Lord's Day and first communion service of the year. And that passage of scripture that deals with the Lord's Supper from verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Amen. For 33 and a half years, our Lord Jesus Christ traversed this scene of time in his state of humiliation in the incarnation when he came into the world. His actual ministry was very short, just a period of 3 years, 3.5 years among men. He suffered through his entire ministry. We think of the many assaults that were made against him, the persecutions that he endured. But it all climaxed and culminated at the end. And we think of the three places of suffering. Gethsemane, in the garden, when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When the Lord was in agony of soul and greatly troubled as he wept and prayed for his people, thinking of the cross and his death there. The man of strong crying and tears, as the book of Hebrews describes him. And then we think of Gabbatha, Pilate's judgment hall, when the Lord was abused and whipped and beaten, the crown of thorns pressed into his head, when he was scourged and mocked so terribly. And then the third place, of course, Golgotha, where he was crucified for our sins. When our sins were laid upon him, it wasn't just the physical sufferings of the cross, as you know, but the eternal and spiritual sufferings that laid hold upon Christ. When the Father's hand went out against his own Son at the cross, when Jesus bore our sins in his body at the tree. The Greeks had a prayer when they came to Philip. And you remember, it was just a very short prayer, and we don't read much about them thereafter. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Come to the Lord's table today, brethren and sisters, that's our prayer. That's our desire of soul. We would see Jesus in this commemorative feast. We think of the bread, speaking of his body, and the cup, speaking of his blood. May your prayer and mine sincerely in the heart be, we would see Christ. See him especially in all his sufferings. taking our place, being wounded for us, wounded for our transgressions, and bruised for our iniquities. We're going to bow together in prayer, and we will ask one of our brethren here at the front to lead us in prayer and thanksgiving for the body of Christ. And the token, the emblem here on the table is the bread that speaks of the body of the Saviour. And they are in little individual containers just to keep everything safe for you in these days of coronavirus. And we will ask you to hold on to it, and then we will partake together. And obviously you can remove your mask to do that. You'll not be able to do it any other way. But we do this in remembrance of Christ and his sufferings at the cross. Let's bow together before the Lord, please.
And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty man might rise. Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high. Surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed and die. He took the dying traitor's place and suffered in his stead. For sinful man, O wondrous grace, for sinful man, he bled. Our loving Father, we humbly and reverently continue on in thy presence. And we thank thee for these moments that we have spent already in the house of God. And we rejoice that we have an anchor, one who is steadfast and sure. And we rejoice today that that anchor, who is Christ, is no longer in the tomb. But we thank thee that he is seated at thy right hand, the one who is our mediator and our redeemer. And our loving Father, we rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and he went all the way to Calvary, and there he suffered. There he bled, and there he died. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We thank thee for that perfect life that the Savior led. And we rejoice that he gave himself, as the Apostle Paul was able to say, he gave himself for me. And we thank thee for the substitutionary work of the Savior, for that broken body, and we come this day, to meet around this table. We thank thee that it's not a reenactment, but we rejoice that it is in remembrance of what Christ hath done for us. This do in remembrance of me. And it is but a foretaste of that day when, through grace and by the blood of the Lamb, we will sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb and be with our Savior forevermore. We thank thee for the joy of this day. We thank thee for those dear brothers and sisters in Christ who have been brought into the fellowship here. And we give thee thanks for each one of them. And we pray, Lord, that thou will lead them on with thyself, and collectively each one of us as a fellowship here at Hebron. Oh, may this be the year when heaven will come down our souls to greet, and glory crown the mercy seat. And in the midst of our troubles and trials, we thank thee that we have an anchor. We rejoice in the one who is our Savior. Sit with us now in these moments, we pray. And we give thee thanks for thy dying love. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Hold the tape together.
We continue on before the Lord, and again one of our elders will lead in thanksgiving for the cup, reminding us of the blood of the Saviour shed for the remission of our sins.
Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again for the privilege it is even to come into Thy presence and Thy house today. Thank You specially, Lord, for the privilege even to gather around this table of remembrance. We thank You, Lord, for even the preciousness of this time, the solemnity, Lord, the thankfulness in our hearts, Lord, even to thank You, Lord, even today for the cup that reminds us of the blood. We thank You, Lord, today that the blood has lost none of its ancient power. We thank You, Lord, that You are even today, Lord, as we welcome in new members, Lord, as evidence that the blood goes on saving men and women's souls. We thank You, Lord, for even, Lord, how it redeems us, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the redemption in His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. O Lord, we thank You, Lord, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. And Lord, none of us would be saved, none of us would be in Thee this morning, Lord, without that shedding of the blood. We thank You, Lord, for what You've done for us. We thank You, Lord, for all You mean to us. And Lord, even as we partake of this cup, we thank You, Lord, that the blood unites us together. Lord, for even those of us that have been saved for many a year, Lord, and even those that would be joining us in the fellowship this morning that are only saved recently, Lord, we're united even through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we look forward to the day whenever we'll be welcomed into heaven and we'll join those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So, Lord, bless us. Continue with us. Bless those that even have joined the fellowship today. And together, Lord, help us to serve Thee. Help us to be drawn closer to Thee in 2021 than even we were in the past year. Help us, Lord, each one of us to be vessels unto honour, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. We pray this in Thy precious name. Amen.
After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. But as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." And again, we will wait until everyone has received the cup and we shall partake together. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. As the cup is being passed, let's sing about the blood of Christ. We'll get a wee note maybe to help us.
We partake together. Dipanka, you're still with us? Can you hear us okay?
Yes, we can.
We know that you're going shortly for an evening service. And you have a special prayer for a young man that you will hopefully be witnessing to after the meeting. Do you want to share that with the congregation?
Sure. We request your prayer of a man named Tanmay. He is not in the Lord at the moment, and the Lord has come to send the gospel to him. I pray the Lord would grant me hope and the clarity of thoughts and the courage to present the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also pray for him that he would gladly receive it, and it is the Lord's will that he would come to this.
Amen. His mother is a believer.
His mother-in-law is a believer.
Mother-in-law. Okay. Well, let us all pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for this day, the Lord's Day, the first Lord's Day of the year, and this special time of commemoration, sitting at the feet of the Lord, remembering His death in His appointed way, taking up these emblems, the bread and the cup, thinking about His sufferings. We would see Jesus was the prayer of our heart, and we've seen Him today. You've come graciously near. You've abode with us. You've been one of our number. Christ has been central. Oh, may we turn our eyes upon Him, our blessed Redeemer, in thanksgiving for all that He accomplished for us at the cross. Thank Thee that we're in Christ. The condemnation has been removed. We have experienced forgiveness, pardon, and peace forevermore. Our future is secure. We know where we're going. We're going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But You have revealed many of these things unto us, and we thank Thee for the glimpses that the Word of God gives us into glory and all that is before us. Help us, Lord, to labor in the light of heaven with eternity's values in view. Remember the Panker as he goes to this evening service, and after the meeting has the opportunity to talk to this young man about the things of God. Oh Lord, open his eyes to see. May he turn from his paganism unto God and find Christ as his Redeemer. We pray that You will prepare the way and open up the door for the presentation of the glorious gospel. And Lord, what we pray for that young man, we pray that it will be multiplied through the great continent of India, that many, many will be won for the Lord in these days. Bless the congregation in Hebron. Remember our new members. Encourage them in the Lord. And strengthen us together in the work of Christ in this house. And help us to live for Your glory every day this year. Go before us, Lord. Walk with us. Take us by the hand. Lead our way. Direct our paths. Keep us in the center of Your will. And dismiss us now from the house of God, with the blessing of the triune God resting upon us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Lord, bless your brethren and sisters and go with you today. Give you a good afternoon and the abiding presence of the Savior. God bless you, my dear brother and sister in India, and go with you also. Encourage you in the Lord. Till we meet again. Amen.